The new year means a new landscape in the Klamath Basin, not the physical landscape, but the political. Klamath River water has more people and other critters seeking to use it than there is water to go around in many years. The river rises in Oregon and reaches the ocean in California with a series of dams and diversions along the way. The Klamath Agreement sought to take out four of those dams and make some other changes to water delivery. The agreements expired at the end of the year because Congress did not pass legislation to implement the agreements. So the obvious question, what now? Two guests to talk about what possible next moves are. Don Gentry is the chair of the Klamath Tribes based in Chiloquin. Don, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange again.
Sure, you're welcome. Thank you.
And Craig Tucker is with us as well. He is the Natural Resources Policy Advocate for the Karuk Tribe. Welcome, Craig.
Thanks for having me.
So for both of you guys, so many entities in the agreements. Where did each of your tribes stand, start and finish? Let's start with you, Don.
I'm not sure if I understand the question.
Well, where did the Klamath Tribe start at the beginning of the Klamath Agreements process, and where do you stand now?
Well, our members have long time supported the concept of settlement, realizing that that would be probably the best opportunity to realize the outcomes that we needed to address the ongoing water disputes and also provide opportunity to restore our fisheries that are important to the exercise of our treaty rights. We knew that with just adjudication alone, our opportunities would be limited. Adjudication only deals with the quantity of water, whereas with settlement, you can bring in other elements that help you get to where you need, the restoration component, the dam removal, all those other elements that really will help us get there.
Had you held out hope until late in the game that something might have changed, that Congress might have made a move before it left Washington for a Christmas recess?
Oh, certainly. You know, I was, I believe all the parties of the agreement really felt like this was the most viable solution to address the longstanding issues and to help us to move forward. And we worked long and hard to end up with the agreement that we did really provided a balance of benefits to all the parties involved. Though I don't believe any of us would believe that we got exactly what we wanted, but it provided a balance. So we worked through the difficulties and came up with a solution, a local solution that we thought would work, and we just. You know, from my perspective, it just seemed that the most simple thing would be for Congress to, agree with us and move forward and implement the agreements in the manner that we agreed to. Beyond that, what we're dealing with now, all bets are off, so to speak, and we're kind of starting afresh, and each of the parties will have to figure out where to go from here, and it creates a lot of difficulties. Anyway, I'd hoped that Congress would move forward and implement the agreements as we agreed, and hopefully be able to move forward with the implementation to address our concerns.
Craig Tucker, for the tribes of the lower Klamath, there was more of a love-hate relationship, sometimes with the emphasis on hate, it seems like, with the Klamath agreements. Give us a characterization, if you would, of the Karuk's position at the beginning and at the end of this period.
Well, we really got engaged in campaigning for dam removal, and then that kind of grew into a bigger effort because the issue of dams is an issue with dam owner PacifiCorps, but the other issues have nothing to do with the dams or PacifiCorps. So the amount of water that's withdrawn and used for irrigation has nothing to do with these dams. Those irrigation deliveries come from Upper Klamath Lake. Mm-hmm. So what these agreements tried to achieve was solving several of the Klamath's problems in one fell swoop, so both the dam issue and the issue of water diversions to the irrigation project. And the settlement agreement was really important because it really was the only means by which these multiple problems could be solved together. Now we're going to have to go back and probably chunk these problems up and fight them on separate fronts. And so the dam relicensing is resuming. The next step for the company to get a new license to operate the dams is to get a Clean Water Act permit from the state of California. So there are public hearings this month in Northern California to evaluate PacifiCorps's license application and give the public an opportunity to comment on that application. So, you know, it's really robbed us of an opportunity to solve this problem in a way that's a win-win for both fishing communities and farming communities. And Congress and Greg Walden in particular denied us the opportunity to solve that problem.
When you think about, and I'm just guessing that in your role as natural resources policy advocate, you read the fine print in these agreements thoroughly, the ultimately three agreements. Were you surprised at the numbers of different issues they were able to address?
Well, no, because myself and the tribe, as well as Chairman Gentry and the Klamath tribes, were involved in writing the agreements. So these weren't agreements that were written by someone and handed to us. These are agreements that we sat down at the table with farmers and irrigators and ranchers and the power company, and we wrote these things together, and we negotiated every point along the way. So we're intimately familiar with the agreements because we share authorship of them.
All right, so when did it become clear to you that the timeline would run out without action?
Well, as we got over into December, you know, we were hoping that we would be able to squeeze some language into one of these large omnibus bills that passed sort of at the end of the congressional session. And certainly Congressman Walden made some public comments and comments to our groups that he was going to introduce legislation that could move. But with only about a week to go in the congressional session, he actually introduced a bill, but the bill really didn't seem to be an honest attempt at passing the agreements that we negotiated. His bill left out dam removal altogether and replaced it with a 200,000-acre giveaway of public lands to the counties who have largely been opposed to the agreements. So it was really kind of a non-starter, the bill he introduced, and so we really do feel like that Congressman Walden failed to show the kind of leadership that the Klamath needs in order to reconcile these bitter disputes between neighboring communities.
We're talking about the what now in the Klamath Basin, now that the Klamath Basin restoration agreements have expired with the end of 2015, with Craig Tucker, who's the natural resources policy advocate for the Karuk tribe. Don Gentry is the Klamath tribal chair. You can join in at 800-838-3760 by phone, jx@jeffnet.org by email. Don Gentry, that Walden bill that Craig just mentioned had some interesting stuff in there, including things that would have benefited the Klamath tribes directly. What was your take on what he was offering?
Well, certainly our members voted on the full package. You know, we negotiated each of the agreements, and our members voted on those. So to deviate from that wasn't possible. We, as the tribal council and our negotiation team, really had to move forward with what our members had voted for. So just the dam removal alone, that being absent from the discussion draft that was introduced, was an issue. Our members couldn't support that. We, as our tribal leadership, couldn't move forward or accept anything less than what our members voted for, so that was problematic. One of the other concerns that we had, you know, there's a land component for the Klamath tribes as one of the bargain for benefits, and we understood that was going to be intact in the discussion draft, and that would be something that we'd secure early on. But the discussion draft had language deferring that down the road somehow, and we'd already previously identified a specific parcel of land, and there was no map, there was no discussion of that specific land, so we weren't sure really what that meant. So there was a question mark there, certainly a concern. And then land transfer to the counties, we knew that was problematic. It would generate opposition the bill, because for folks that are concerned about turning private lands or federal lands into private ownership, you know, there's significant concerns around that. And both our senators, it indicated that was basically a poison pill, a non-starter. So right away, we believed that was going to remain intact, that component. Likely, a bill wouldn't move forward.
I'm still mystified, given all the people who were parties to the various Klamath Basin agreements. Who gains from the agreements not moving forward, do you think, Don?
I don't believe anybody really gains from the bills not moving forward. We certainly believe that it provided a balance that would help all the parties to negotiate the difficulties we've been going through and are facing now. They haven't gone away. We still have the same issues that we've always had, the same need to address the over-allocation of water. From the tribal perspective, we've been denied salmon for almost 100 years now when they put the first dam in without fish ladders that were promised, and they were never put in. So salmon and steelhead that migrated up to the upper basin here, where our Klamath tribal members have treaty rights, and that's a treaty resource that's been denied us for nearly 100 years. Certainly, that's, you know, a concern of ours. That's a loss. And the other issues that are there, we have even resident fish in Klamath Lake, are Tuam and Koptu. The Tuam is the Lost River sucker. Koptu is short nose. Both of those are on the endangered species list. Those are a treaty subsistence fish that basically allowed us to survive through the ages as the native people here, important food source, and they're endangered, and we can no longer fish for those. The KBRA would have provided the organizational structure to make sure that the appropriate entities were involved in oversight and management of restoration of the watershed, which would not only set the foundation for a return of salmon and steelhead here, but also improve water quality and habitat quality important to those endangered fish. We need to have those fish harvestable again. Currently, we're not. We haven't been able to fish for those fish since 1986, though they were listed in 1988. So, we have ongoing issues, ongoing problems. They're not solved. We're looking at another, without settlement, we're looking at another 10 to 20 years in the courts battling over water, though we currently have a strong standing in the adjudication process. We're not through that process yet.
Because the Klamath tribe's got the number one water right?
Yeah, we have the time memorial water right. That means we're first in priority for water, first on the list to receive water. And we have what's called been termed an in-stream right, a right to keep water in the lakes, streams, marshes, seep springs to provide for the treaty resources important to us, fisheries, plants, and so forth. So, and that's directly at odds or in conflict with those that have consumptive use for diversion, for irrigation, for agriculture, ranching, and farming. So, and we have a significant water right first in time and also a significant amount of water to provide for those fish and to restore those fisheries that have been denied us all these years. So, yes, we're in the current strong position, but we're just now entering into the judicial phase of the adjudication process. Our rights were quantified, ours and other parties in the upper basin here. Our rights were quantified and are now enforceable as of March 2013. So not only do the Klamath tribes have a quantified and enforceable right, other parties in the basin too. The Klamath project is another. And, there's other individuals that have senior water rights that are downstream of other folks on various streams, and there have been calls for regulation, and even competing ranchers have had issues there. Folks upstream have been denied water with a junior water right. So we have these issues that are ongoing, and that's what we're facing into the future here. And litigation, of course. We know when you put things in the hands of a judge, you're not sure what the outcome is going to be. One of the reasons that all the parties felt settlement was helpful is if we could really come up with a balance and an agreement that would meet our needs, that we could live with and stay out of the courts, that would be the best bet for everybody.
All right, Craig Tucker at the other end of the river with the Karuk tribe. What are the moves ahead considered there?
Well, we're going to remain committed to dam removal. We think that we can make a case that California should not give Dam Owner Pacific Corps a clean water permit to operate these dams. We don't think there's any way to operate these dams to comply with the Clean Water Act. So we think that could trigger the steps to dam removal. And so we're going to remain focused on that. And so the consequence of Congress not acting because Western Doug LaMalfa and Greg Walden simply could not swallow dam removal, so they didn't want to pass this legislation. But the consequence could be that we remove the dams anyway, and we do it without the legislation that would create sort of a soft landing for the irrigation community.
Hmm. We have an email in from Bruce in Happy Camp. He says, dams have to come out to really restore the fishery and the restoration economy, which is emerging as the most relative and productive to the Klamath Basin's economic future. Thanks for that from Bruce in Happy Camp. You did mention, Craig, some meetings coming up. Are these the scoping meetings that the State Water Board is going to be holding?
That's correct. It'll be an opportunity for the public to come out and kind of express their thoughts and feelings about the dams and whether or not they should get this clean water permit. And so those meetings are going to be held in Sacramento, Arcata, Orleans, and then up in Yreka.
All right, I see the 14th in Sacramento, the 25th, 26th, 25th, 26th, and 26th. Wow, big day for those guys. In Arcata, Orleans, and Yreka. I have a copy of the times and locations. We'll provide these through our website at jeffexchange.org so people can get out to those scoping meetings later in the month as the discussion of relicensing the Klamath Dams picks up once again with the death of the restoration agreements. I want to thank Craig Tucker, who is the Natural Resources Policy Advocate for the Karuk Tribe, and Don Gentry, the Chair of the Klamath Tribes, for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you.